We kick off hour number two of the program. It's brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com. Become a member. What are you waiting for? You can walk into over 30 branches right here in East Tennessee. They've been helping their members grow financially for almost 90 years.
Nate, I have great news.
Yeah?
Tennessee has a top 10 recruiting class.
Again.
Okay.
We haven't even gained a commit. We've jumped three spots.
How did that happen?
Because some of our guys got reevaluated and went boop, 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 boop. We jumped from number 13 to number 9. We are now ahead of names such as Miami, Florida, Penn State, Oregon, Southern Cal. And somehow this son of Shane Beamer's at 15 with South Carolina. Mm. He's two spots ahead of Arkansas. Interestingly enough, A&M is at 24 with only 11 commits, though. You think they're taking it easy, laying low with the NIL stuff until they get closer to...
Yeah. I think that's probably a good strategy.
Then they're going to come in and be Mr. Steal Your Girl and just...
Mm-hmm.
Better not take any of our guys. Keep my eye on them.
No, that's good news. I mean, we talked about all the recruits that came in this weekend.
Oh!
We did not disappoint.
How nice was it to host, such a big weekend and have literally everything go your way?
I know.
You had Game Day. You had Barstool. You had CBS. You had Tony V. You had a win in Checker Neyland with great weather. I got a little nervous when it started to rain towards the end of Game Day. Just a little sprinkle. It didn't last, but it had me a little nervous. Perfection.
And in modern college football, I just don't – I think kind of what you were talking about earlier with the corners, I think you can use a bad defense to just recruit defensive guys, you know? The only thing that worries me about the system and recruiting is we kind of stumbled upon this a while back. Like, do offensive linemen really want to come here and run 90 plays a game?
You can put a lot on film.
Yeah. And you do get to run block a lot and pass block a lot.
Speaking of our offensive line, do we need to hat tip Glenn Ellerbe? They've been pretty good.
They were.
We're not, like, I don't think we have the running backs to just, chalk up 300 yards rushing. But with what they were able to do to protect Hendon, help him get downfield, blocking guys into the first down run on 3rd and 10 on our drive right before the half where they pushed Jabari Small the last 7 yards. I mean, that's a good unit.
Well, who got Hendon Hooker strip sacked? The back.
That was 4th down. He held the ball a little bit. We have had the running backs blow. That the one 3rd and 10.
I feel like
that
the running backs and the tight ends have been the worst blocking guys.
I don't disagree with that.
Major bust, whereas the offensive line's been.
Yeah, Mincy hasn't given up a sack.
At least in the right spot.
Spraggins?
Remember how under Pruitt they couldn't even get in front of people?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they need a hat tip yet, but.
I'm not saying crown their ass. I'm saying a hat tip.
But
that's like saying hello to somebody. I'm just saying hello to the offensive line. Hello, I don't disrespect you. I will tip my hat in appreciation for what you've done. I'm not saying we're naming him Sheriff. We're just hat tipping him.
I saw the Pro Football Focus grades here from the Florida game. They're not good.
How bad were they?
I don't know. I can pull them up. I mean,
I don't want to see anybody in the secondary. I don't want those grades. I don't really
tell you.
They probably all failed.
I don't think I do. I don't think we need the secondary grades.
No. I mean, Hendon Hooker was, off the charts.
He's a 92, I think, wasn't he?
Something like that.
Yeah, Nate, we know he's good.
He was an offensive player in the country, wasn't he?
Well, yeah, but you can do that and still not be like statistically or like Pro Football Focus grades.
Yeah,
they're going to look at stats, which you can put up stats and not be great.
92.9, yes.
Pretty good.
Hendon Hooker. The crazy thing is the gap between him and the rest of the offensive players. Do you remember who was the second best offensive player?
Brew.
72.7.
Jeez.
Yeah, but like I feel like our receivers get dinged because if the play's not going to their side, they basically take the play off. And if they're grading every play, that's probably, oh, he didn't do anything. Well, yeah, because he knew the ball wasn't coming that way. Like Jalen Hyatt on the touchdown to Brew, he fakes the fly sweep, and he just, you know, he fakes getting the handoff and then just basically just pulls up and jogs it out and turns around and watches. Like, he didn't sell the fake, but at that point, Hendon Hooker's already rolled out to his right and fired the touchdown pass. But if you're grading every play, you're probably going to ding Jalen Hyatt on that.
Darnell Wright was the best lineman. 63.2. Cooper Mays was 60.8. Spraggins, 59.5.
Wasn't he SEC Offensive Lineman of the Week?
Jerome Carvin was 54.6. And Gerald Mincy, against his old team, who he hates and we love him for it, graded out at a 40.2, Chris.
How?
Yeah, I don't. Who's grading these papers?
How?
That's ridiculous.
I don't know.
I mean,
now I really want to know the corners.
I haven't seen any clips of him other than the one of him bashing that guy into the ground for a
pass. I'm going to go back and watch the game today and just watch him.
How could you be a sub 50 and not give up a sack all year?
He's almost sub 40.
Now I really want to know the corners.
No, you just said you did want to know.
Oh, now that Mincy was one of our better offensive linemen on Saturday at 40, they may not even graded our corners.
Mincy was the lowest graded player that had enough snaps, offense or defense.
I find that hard to believe.
So are we?
Did they ding him for the middle finger? Come on, what is that? Oh, that's rude. He shouldn't do that. That's minus 10.
Just tell me Haddon.
I have no idea. Come on, with a 60.3.
How?
What?
That was
he had
his
a pick,
worst,
guys.
That's
I don't
his
know
worst
what,
game.
I don't know how you're so horrible. Surprised he had a pick.
Okay, I could have picked it all.
He had a couple good plays. Because I remember thinking, God, Haddon, terrible. And then it's like, oh, Haddon made that play. And then he got burned on this play. And then he made that play. He was like just around every single play for like 10 straight.
That's what he's been doing all season.
That's crazy.
Who's our lowest graded defensive player with enough snaps?
Tamari McDonald.
Your guy? That's Nate's MVP pick. Or
44.8.
Still higher than Mincy?
Yeah.
Gosh.
Pro Football Focus hates offense.
They hate our best offense in the country.
They hate our line. They always our line is never graded out.
What did the running backs get?
Jabari Small was way up there.
Was he?
He was after Brew McCoy, 72.7.
What did Brew McCoy grade out at?
72.7.
Yeah.
Hooker?
Jabari Small, 72.2. Hooker was a 92.9. Ramel Keaton, 68.9. Jalen Hyatt, 66.8. Jalen Wright, 66.5. Yeah, Jacob Warren, 63.4. And on down.
It's pretty high for Warren. Tight. Didn't he only have the one catch?
Fant, 58.6.
I mean, it was what? Like 41 yards?
No, I mean, it was a big play. I'm just. It seems like he wasn't really out
I'm
there.
I'm rewatching that final drive before halftime where they pinned us inside like the three.
Mm-hmm. At the one, you mean? Because it was a 99-yard drive?
I don't think it was at the one.
Then how was it a 99-yard drive?
Oh, I swear. Hold on. Let me look. There's no way this ball is at the one.
Hickman, they field the punt on the one.
Hold on. Be quiet.
It's a radio show. I mean, be quiet.
That's the 2-yard line, maybe. It was a 98-yard drive.
It's listed in every statistical book as a 99-yard drive. That's not
the
one. That's the two, maybe.
Didn't we lose a yard though on the first play?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I don't know. It might have been at the 1.5-yard line. God, what a throw. What a catch.
Oh, that's probably the Ramel Keaton clip he's looking at.
Man, this is beautiful.
Mincy have a false start here.
Oh, is that what got him?
Probably part of it. I don't know. Kind of the whole line went.
Well, that's something we got to clean up, Nate. We're 113th nationally in penalty yards per game.
Davey Hudson tried to tell us.
Yeah, but we kind of busted that theory, though, when we said when we're running as many plays as we are, it makes sense that you might get a few more on offense. But how many of them really hurt us?
On Saturday, we did pretty well.
Mm-hmm, that's what I'm saying. We make a mistake, but then you come back and...
It's those ones where it's like first and go at the one and we get a false start that we just can't have. or the personal foul that just gives them free 15.
Do we have a personal foul all year?
No, more like last year. That seemed to be an issue.
I mean, last year Jeremy Banks had enough for the whole team.
Yeah, we did have a we have had a personal foul, Chris. How quickly you forget the haymakers.
Oh, yeah.
I meant in a game that mattered against a team that wasn't cheap and dirty.
Sorry.
Did he get in the game at all Saturday?
I don't think
didn't
so,
he,
and it was
he
nice.
Did he return a kick?
No, they said it was Callaway, but it was Holiday because mm-hmm. Gary Danielson's a moron. Mm-hmm. And then he said, oh, Holiday was suspended for the first. No, he wasn't. That's the other Jimmy. I guess it is kind of confusing. Holiday, Callaway, both named Jimmy. Haymakers. He hit him in the helmet to make sure the guy didn't get hurt. It was respectful.
Okay.
Coaches slap players on the helmets all the time. They don't get in trouble. It was just, hey, you quit holding my face mask.
Mm. It helped us, though.
Did we have two false starts on the first drive?
Yes.
We did?
I think so.
Yeah.
They were amped up and ready to go. They were firing off the ball. You'd rather say woe than sick 'em, I always say.
Mm-hmm.
All right, good stuff.
Yeah, we'll come back with more. Stick with us right here. Hour two continues live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Fan Run Radio. Pick you up some White Claw Hard Seltzer. Get set for the bye week. You know, it looks like we're getting just straight hurricane rain on Saturday here in Knoxville.
Just rain?
Yeah. Is it raining right now?
I don't think so.
No.
I swear I heard something, but could be wrong.
We'll go check it out. Once I thought that love was something I could never do. Never knew that I could feel this much. Don't you worry, Chris. Mr. Film Guru Nate Hodges is on the trail here.
Mr. What?
Don't worry about it. Didn't come out right the way I hoped it would. Oh, yeah, there was a bad play.
Yeah, you're a real MFG.
I finally found a real bad Mincy play. He does get pushed back into the backfield more than any other offensive lineman on pass plays. But Hendon Hooker got rid of the football so quickly on at least the ones I've seen so far, it didn't matter. He did a good job run blocking and opening up a huge hole for Hooker on a design quarterback run.
Is that the one where he stayed low and shot through real fast?
Mm-hmm.
Loved that play. What a huge play.
He's had a couple bad plays here in the red zone.
Bad. Couldn't have been that bad.
We ran the ball for minus 2.5.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. But the main culprit was our – who was that? The offensive lineman that pulled. Darnell Wright was the guy that missed the block, though. But then Mincy getting pushed in the backfield didn't help. That's why like two Florida players just swallowed up Jabari Small. That's what put us in 3rd and 7. Then we had the incompletion over the middle. That might have been Hooker's worst throw of the day.
The one to Hyatt?
No, it was to the tight end.
Fant? Warren?
Warren. He's 87, right?
Yeah.
It was kind of behind him. And the Florida
Is that where he got one hand on it?
Yeah.
Yeah. That probably was his worst throw.
It's out in front of him. I mean,
he's probably still running.
We're picking up that first down. Anyway, we settled for a field goal. But 40, I mean, I don't know.
Pretty low.
Yeah.
I think it's good for this team.
I mean, they're basically saying he didn't do his job at all.
Disagree with that. I think it's good. Where everyone's riding high, everybody's jumping on the bandwagon around the country. We got Josh Pate. We got Reese Davis. We got Kirk Herbstreit. We got J.D. Pickle,
Keyshawn,
you name it. They're all, Tennessee, look at Tennessee, look how good they are. I don't like it. Reading the press clippings.
Rat poison.
I think this team can handle it.
No, Hickman, this is working class Wednesday. We got to remember what got us here. And you know what it was? Points. It was waking up at 6 a.m. to be at the facility at 7 a.m. so you can do a team meeting and be out on the practice field by 8 a.m.
Well, thankfully, they'll have to get up at 6 a.m. to be ready for an 11 a.m. kickoff.
Exactly, Hickman. Thank you for strolling right into the point I was about to make.
Oh, was that the point?
Which is that we are... Someone just shut up while I'm talking? Can someone do that? Workman-like Wednesday. We wake up at the crack of dawn. They go get a breakfast. They have a team meeting. They high-five Heupel at the top of the stairs. And then it's straight to work. These guys down on the bayou are sleeping in till the crack of 11 o'clock. They go to their one fake class about how to train alligators or something. Then they go to the practice facility to see my family. Tell them how to coach football for 2 hours, 4 to 6. They're a late-night coach crowd. They can't stand waking up early. This is right in our wheelhouse. Right in it. So don't forget what got us here. Hard work. Dedication. To the grind. You know who didn't get us here? And it's nothing against him. Josh Pate didn't get us here. J.D. Pickle didn't get us here. Keyshawn Johnson didn't get us here. You know what didn't get us here? Winning some award from the Orange Bowl about who had the best play of the week or game of the week. You know what didn't get us here? The GD Heisman House didn't get us here. Talking about Hendon Hooker winning the Heisman. They didn't get us here. 6 a.m. got us here. Hard work got us here. Dedicating yourselves to the system. You know what got this fan base got us here. So let's not get ahead of ourselves. We're 4-0. Mm-hmm. Got a bye week. That can go one of two ways, Nate. You spend 2 weeks laughing and dancing and high-fiving your buddies about how great you are. And, oh, man, like, well, what did Pate say yesterday? Oh, yeah, 10-2. That's the floor for this team now. That's the floor. Nothing can go wrong.
I beg to differ with that.
The floor is 10-2.
9-3.
The floor is not 10-2 if you forget what got you here. This team works. They fight, they claw, they scratch. We can't lose that because we just beat Florida. Because you escaped the alligator and there's a tiger waiting on you. Stay humble. Workmanlike. Grind it out.
Well, I'm glad you've come around.
We had 11 a.m.
What are you talking about?
Yesterday you said, maybe Monday, it might have been Monday. It might have been Monday. But you said, house money going down to LSU. And I said, no, sir. We got bigger goals. We got to have high expectations.
You can play with house money and have high expectations. You can
when people say house money, they lose their edge. They're like, just house money. Win or lose, it'll be fine. We got over the hump of Florida. You're just setting us up for failure.
I'm just saying house money as and the point of like, hey, you know you can't lose, so you might as well double it up.
We had 4 noon games last year, and 1:11 a.m. game against Missouri, and we beat them.
Okay. We're a morning team.
Morning team.
That's my point.
I mean, that's all great for the next game, but, I mean, we're not going to have any of these crappy noon starts. We're going to be so good, they're going to keep putting us at night, so we better be ready to play then, too.
Are you saying if you wake up in the morning, you're not ready at night?
I was just using your logic. If you're a morning team, can you also be a night team?
I'm not saying we're a morning team. I'm saying
we're a morning team.
No, listen. I'm saying if you're not a morning team, you can't be an all-day team.
Oh, this is like drinking beer.
Exactly. You can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning. You can't be a good football team all day if you don't start in the morning.
Okay.
So we are good in the morning, afternoon, evening, night, like the Truman Show.
I wholeheartedly disagree with this grader on Gerald Mincy.
You've watched a quarter.
I'm in like the second quarter now, like almost halftime.
Well, good. That's good. Florida. I hope he reads it and he says, wait a minute, I thought I had a good game. Guess I better go get better.
Yeah, he needs, I mean.
Guess I better hit the weight room, work on the squats.
He could play stronger, but, I mean, that's what we need our offensive line to do. Protect Hendon Hooker.
And when you can't protect him, he needs to protect himself. Hope he's okay.
Yeah.
Shoulder thing looks a little.
When did he hurt the shoulder?
Did he start sliding?
It wasn't on the last drive.
No, it wasn't the last drive. Actually, was it? It might have been the last drive of the first half.
He does take some awkward hits, and he's learned how to get down.
He's got loose hips, and he did try to go down a couple of times. One time he went down, he got pegged and then hit the guy when he was getting up, which
I think
fine.
His shoulder's fine.
I feel like he's wincing here with 7 minutes.
So maybe it was
the second
a drive before that. Because he went down and kind of rolled over and grabbed it, and then he gets up, and you just see a
non-throwing shoulder.
Yeah, it was his left.
Yeah, he's fine.
What is it? What? Not if his collarbone's broken.
It's not. He wouldn't have been able to play 2.5 quarters on a broken collarbone.
Says I'm fine and they don't check the first of all, that's a lot of pain to have to go through to just say I'm fine.
It's one of the more uncomfortable injuries out there.
Have you ever had it?
No.
Okay.
I know people who have.
Okay, good God almighty.
Big expert, Adam Hickman.
My point remains, gentlemen. It's a working-class fan base. We need to be a working-class team. Now, we do something special here. High-octane offense.
Mm-hmm.
But that only works if everybody's bought in. If everybody's on the same page. If you're studying your playbook. If you're working out. If you're making practice. If you're straining, as Heupel likes to say. So we're going to have to talk about it this week and probably next week about how, I've got Tennessee in my playoff and I've got Hooker in the Heisman. He's going to New York. And we're going to have to listen to that. And that's fine. But the last time this happened, what did we do, Nate? What did we do? We went down to A&M and got our teeth kicked in. Then fought back. I wasn't done. We got our teeth kicked in because we put the ball on the ground because we spent 2 weeks reading our press clippings.
We lost in overtime.
Can someone just shut up before I make my point and you try to counterpoint the point that I'm trying to make?
You got on to me last segment for talking, not talking enough. Now you're on.
Yeah, and now that I'm doing the job, everyone wants to interrupt me. We got our teeth kicked in early and battled back, but we still lost the game because we didn't come into the game focused. We read our press clippings. Jalen Hurd damn quit the team. Alvin Kamara catches a pass, fumble. John Kelly catches a pass, fumble. Chance to win the game in overtime. Interception. Don't read the press clippings.
Yep.
Jalen Hurd. I remember when all the insiders were like, there's no way that's true. It's like, yeah, buddy, it is. This is Butch Jones.
I still don't understand how he got taken out of the Georgia game, but then was back in the Georgia game for the onside.
He wasn't supposed to. He was around the field.
But they didn't count, or they didn't. I don't know. That whole situation.
We didn't have a bye week after Georgia.
No, I know.
That's the key.
This bye week is the key. It's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a really good thing.
So you don't like all this national pub?
No, I think the pub is fine. You just
can't listen to it.
You can't get too high or too low.
Out.
It's great that you're getting recognized. That means you've done your job. Recognition is proof that the work is working. But if you start to think you don't have to do anything to keep it up, I mean, the schedule doesn't get easier, folks.
Embrace it if you're a Tennessee fan.
I'm not saying you have to embrace it. What choice do you have?
If you're
you can't,
a football player.
I'm not telling them to block it out. I'm just saying
embrace it.
Take it with a grain of salt.
You know,
the good comes with the work.
I went all in on a Florida win early on. I'm all in on the hype too. What's the worst that can happen?
Here we go.
What the hell did you just say? What are you doing? Are you kidding me?
Hey, it's just a game.
You're a moron.
At the end of the day, enjoy
it
while
you can.
You're
a moron.
Enjoy it while you can. Can look and you will find me. Time after time. If you fall, I will catch you. I'll be waiting.
Time after time. If you're lost, you can look and you will find me. Hour two continues. Here on Fandom Radio. If you fall, I will catch you. I'll be where we wait. Yeah, that ball is definitely on the one. Hickman's just wrong.
Well, you said that they spotted it bad.
Yeah, it's kind of a bad spot. But the drive started on the 1 yard line, clearly.
Should have been closer to the two, but.
I kind of like the 99 yard drive, though.
I did too.
No, the fact that it was 99. Like 98 would have been cool because 98. But something about a 99 yard drive in 2 minutes to just snatch the lead back, knowing you get the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And to the way you did it, you converted 2 third downs, a big run, nice pass to Fant. On a rollout where Hooker probably should have been killed by Brendan Cox. The catch by Keaton. The scramble where Hooker gets into a scuffle afterwards with the safety. And then the rollout touchdown to Brew.
That was beautiful.
It was a thing of beauty.
Mincy's really good at holding. In a good way.
That's what I want all my linemen to be good at.
No, he keeps his hands in. He gets a good grab on them, and then lets them go. Once
I can't tell what you're doing right now.
What?
Are you calling him a cheater?
No. They all hold every play. Like, he made a great block here on this key 3rd and 10, the one you're just talking about, where Hooker slides left. He can only slide left like that because this is actually the one time that in pass pro, Mincy comes off the ball and kind of
hits somebody,
pushes this guy down the field a little bit. It's a – they lined up. It's actually – all kidding aside, he actually did a really nice job because they've got the – we have trips to the top, and the – I'm guessing that's a safety, or it's a nickel, has walked down like he's going to blitz, and they got the defensive end on that side, like, you know, in between our guard and tackle. So, like, really he doesn't have, like, a, you know, like a wide nine in he has to worry about out there. Mm-hmm. But he's got this blitzer. And instead of, like, hanging out there to make sure he's not blitzing too quickly, he correctly diagnoses that that guy's not coming. I don't know if he just guessed or whatever, but he comes right off the ball and just pins down on the defensive end who lined up inside. That's why Hooker could slide left. If that dude had blitzed, Hooker gets killed by Cox because he has nowhere to go.
Go, yeah.
You know? But he slides left. And
great scheme.
Finds Fant over the middle, barely gets the first down, and the rest is history.
Nate, do you want to know what the most watched college football game of the week was in week 4?
I know.
Duke, Kansas.
Yeah, Duke, Kansas. That's where game day should have been, right?
Duke, Kansas did not make the top 7.
Ooh.
That's shocking.
Rough look.
Which is weird because every media member in the world apparently
and
was watching that one.
And they can only fit like 40,000 people in that
stadium.
So
you think there'd be a lot more that had to watch
it
on TV?
Yeah, it has to be Clemson, Wake Forest.
Maybe they were 7th.
Double overtime.
Nationally. 3.2 million viewers.
Mm. Sad.
Maybe you'd think K-State, Oklahoma. Especially late. Everyone's like, oh, we got to go watch Oklahoma lose. Yeah. Nope, sorry, didn't make
it.
What
about
3.4 million? Ah, Art, that was 4th.
That was Jerry's World, surely.
Yeah. 3.5 million. They tied with Notre Dame and North Carolina. Notre Dame and North Carolina on ABC. The Fighting Irish fighting for their life and their season. 3.5 million. Maybe you're thinking Maryland at Michigan.
Nah.
Sounds boring.
4.4 million. Pretty good. Third nationally. Wisconsin, Ohio State. 4.6 million. Wow.
Kind of proves our point on why CBS will just pick, you know, good team. Because that game was a complete blowout immediately.
Which one?
Ohio State.
Mm. Number one game of the week was Florida-Tennessee CBS with a million more viewers than the second highest game of Wisconsin-Ohio State. 5.6 million. And that's with 102,000 in the stadium. And probably another, oh, I don't know. 80,000 outside just listening and tailgating and having a great time.
Why did CBS have our orange so bad?
On the graphic?
Yeah.
I don't know. It was
like,
bad.
Like
I got
almost red.
I feel like it's never been that bad either.
Uh-uh.
It's never been that.
I never picked up on that when I was rewatching.
You were at the game.
I mean, I went and rewatched the game.
It's terrible. It really is. It's like a red orange.
Yeah.
I feel like it's always kind of that.
No, in 2016 they nailed it. It looked great. I thought you said you went back and watched that game. 2016? This past week?
I don't think I said that.
Okay.
I don't know. I do rewatch a lot.
Do you see who Heupel gave credit to for rebuilding the program and getting it to where it is right now?
The fans.
No.
No.
Players.
I was really hoping I'd get some credit.
I feel like Butch Jones was always a, you know, me.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
Just going back to the most watched, that was the most watched Tennessee-Florida game in 13 years.
The Vols are good. It matters for college football. People can hate all they want, but it's just a fact. When Tennessee's good, it's good for the game.
It was up 34% from last year's comparable window from I guess.
Do we know what game that was last year?
I'm not sure. I'd have to look it up.
Okay.
It peaked at $6.7 million, I think, too.
Probably for the Hail Mary, thank God. The last thing, we would need everybody to tune in the world, and then we blow it.
Yep.
I was losing my mind at that point. Actually, I think I had lost my mind. I just sat in silence for the last play. And when it was intercepted, it wasn't a me standing up and cheering and going crazy. It was more of a
sigh of relief.
Oh, thank God. Oh, my God. It was kind of stunk. Like, if you're up, you know, 20, you're like, yeah, this is going to be great. We're going to be counting them down,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And that was just like a, like, I don't think I took a breath.
You couldn't. How could you? I mean, we're just one throw into the end zone of just spinning the wheel of Florida.
How do we lose to them this year?
Oh, defense pass interference. Ball be placed on the 2-yard line.
One untimed down.
Richardson dives from the 10, flies through the air, touchdown.
Be 15 yards, I guess. Just tackle him on Hail Mary plays.
Here's a stat for you. Brian Kelly is 4-11 against teams ranked in the top 10.
Yeah, okay. That's better than I thought, actually.
What?
4-11?
What are you doing?
Well, I mean, his teams have never been that good, even when they kind of are good. So, I mean, they're going to lose a bunch of games against top 10 teams.
They were a top 10 team in probably most of those matchups.
Yeah, but we know they're overrated, or we're overrated. Notre Dame.
How many of those matchups are, like, counting the playoffs and, like, New Year's Six bowl games?
I don't have it right in front of me, but I'm...
A&M Arkansas was week 4 last year.
Okay.
Well, when we come back, got some college football top 25 by the numbers. Kind of looking at the... I guess you'd call these the computer rankings these days. Some interesting notes about how the computers view Tennessee and some other schools around the country. We'll hit that next.
Spend my dollar, park and holler neath the mountain moonlight. Hold her up tight, make a little loving. A little turn of loving on a Mason-Dixon line. Fits my life, oh so right. My Dixieland line.
Final segment, hour number 2. College football top 25 by the numbers. Based on expected point margin versus average team across the S&P, the FEI, the beta rank, the FPI.
Also known as the Hickman rank, because you're beta.
The K-Ford.
Shut up, Chris.
And the
Zing!
CFB winning edge. All these numbers have been taken into account.
I don't know what you just said, but
piled,
bring it.
Deposited. And Tennessee comes in at number 10.
Mm.
Down a little from the old votes. You asked yesterday, we chewed on a little bit, where do you really rank Tennessee? This is kind of just a numbers ranking based on expected point margin versus average team. Not sure how that all comes up, but. I guess that's the way they've – so if your team plays an average college football team.
Dead center of the world.
Alabama will beat that average team by 32.2 points.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee will beat that team by 17.6 points.
I don't know if I buy that.
Does it say, like, who the average team is right now? Like, just for – you see what I'm saying? Like, who – like, what team is considered just average across all of college football?
I guess you'd have to go on down the rankings. This obviously just has the top 25. Here are some notes, though. Highest and lowest ratings for each team were dropped. The composite is the average of the four remaining ratings.
Hmm.
For example, Tennessee on the S&P, which is really high on Tennessee, and I think we looked at those numbers earlier in the week, or at least might have mentioned it. They're 19.3 on that, but they're only 13.6 on whatever beta rank is.
Hickman rank.
The point margin is estimated based on the S&P's distribution of ratings. I don't know how that works, but so anyway, the weird stuff though starts popping up when you look at where teams are. Tennessee's next opponent is LSU.
Yes,
they're ninth, 17.9 points better than the average.
And we're what? 17 what?
We're 17.6.
So they're saying that LSU is a third of a point better than us.
Yes.
Against
the average.
The average team.
Yeah.
Okay. Yet we're going on the road and we're favored.
Yep, here's so Alabama's number one, Georgia's two, 31.6. They're pretty close to each other. Ohio State's three, 31.1. As you might expect, there's a huge drop from those top three teams down to Michigan, who's next at four, 21.7. And then a super surprise team at number five, row the boat, Minnesota. They are undefeated, 18.9
points. Is this all stats-based?
I don't know. It's like, whatever these computer rankings put into their formulas. K4.
Like, do we think we'd lose to Minnesota right now?
No, but it'd be a close one. Tanner Morgan's a legit quarterback. I mean, we struggle against the pass. I think he'd have a pretty big day against us.
Can he run?
No, but their running back's legit, too. I forgot.
Was he the guy that got hurt last year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting because we are more points higher than Minnesota and maybe even more of the categories, but on the ones where they're rated higher than us, they're rated higher. So the average, you know, mm-hmm. works out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually really close from 5 all the way down to, like, 14, as you might expect. We talked about how it's hard to rank those teams. Minnesota, Oklahoma is still up there, which is funny since they lost. Clemson is 7. Ole Miss is 8. So maybe maybe Lane Kiffin does have a little bit stronger team than the voters think.
And his fans.
And his own fans.
Yeah.
What's really interesting, Chris, is I don't see Kentucky on here at all.
Well, that's fascinating.
You know how they struggle with Northern Illinois?
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't look great even against their other non-conference.
Miami of Ohio and Youngstown State. Yes, I am familiar. So they're – well, you mean they're not in the top 10?
No, I mean they're not in the top 25.
But that doesn't make any sense, Nate, because they're ranked higher than us in all the polls, mm-hmm. usually about one spot.
Texas is 11.
Yeah, I'm starting to really just – I don't like this.
Utah.
This feels like dumb information.
Penn State, USC, Mississippi State, Notre Dame, Baylor, Washington, Oklahoma State, Cincinnati, Wisconsin, Oregon, Florida State, NC State, Maryland.
Okay.
Kentucky is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8th in the conference.
Behind what, all the West teams?
Behind
and
Alabama,
us?
Georgia, Ole Miss, LSU, Tennessee, Mississippi State, Texas A&M. They're ahead of Arkansas and Auburn.
Hmm.
Vanderbilt's the worst. Missouri's next to worst. South Carolina's just a little better than them. Florida's actually significantly better than South Carolina. They're next worst than Florida, Arkansas, Kentucky, and then all the ones. All right, you wanted the average team. So there's another graphic here, and they don't have the numbers, but it looks like an average team would be Fresno State or Army. We beat Fresno State by 17. UTSA.
Yeah.
Memphis, slightly above average.
You said we're 10th?
Virginia, slightly below average. Stanford, below average.
Yeah, he said we were 10th.
Yeah, these are teams that are really trying to get close.
Tyler Wyatt's model on BetSmart has Tennessee 7th nationally, LSU 20th.
Okay.
Tennessee would beat the average team by 17.41 points, LSU only 12.8.
That sounds a little more like what, you know, I think
well,
most people think.
They put up, what, 20 against Florida State? Did they not have a defensive touchdown or two against Mississippi State? Or did they just make some late defensive plays and broke? I know they broke one long run. Did they not have a defensive touchdown?
No. Not that I remember. Maybe I'm wrong. Mississippi State had a kickoff return touchdown that got called back for a phantom hold that I never could find. That was pretty interesting. Right as LSU went up a score, and then Mississippi State, or maybe they went up two scores, and Mississippi State cut it back to three, and all of a sudden it's coming back.
Here's a question for you. When do we reach the point of the season where the SEC office makes sure the refs do everything they can to help Tennessee?
When we're...
Because it happens to Bama and Georgia all the time. Now, I realize against those two teams you probably won't, but would it not be good for the SEC if Tennessee beats LSU this weekend?
Yeah.
Is it possible Greg Sankey makes the call and says, hey, you know, LSU is not going to be a top 10 team this season. Let's make sure we just let Tennessee do whatever they want. Let Mincy get away with some of those great holds you were talking about.
Think about it this way, Chris. We're 17 points better than the average team. Akron is 25 points worse than the average team. What was our margin of victory against Akron?
55 or 58?
57.
63 to 6, right?
Yep.
57. Okay. But close-ish. Akron is the... There's one, two, three, four teams worse than Akron in all of college football. You know, FBS.
But few dirtier.
And then,
if any,
Ball State and Bowling Green are right together. It's like next worst in the MAC. They're like 17 points below average. So we should be like 35-ish points better than those than Ball State. I don't know. Fun exercise. Interesting numbers. Any other teams you're interested in, where they are right now, that maybe we play coming up?
Well, I mean, I know Georgia and Bama. You just told me Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
South Carolina?
Pretty bad. They're slightly like 4 points better than an average college football team.
That's it?
But that's bad. I mean, that's...
No, I know, yeah.
That's 12th in the SEC. That's worse than Auburn. But, I don't know. In a weird way, it's only like 5 points worse than Florida.
South Carolina's only 5 points worse than Florida?
Mm-hmm.
So we beat them by 10. Would you take a 10-point win over South Carolina right now?
I mean, I'd take it. It's an SEC game, but it'd feel...
It's a road game.
Yeah, it'd feel a little like, eh.
I mean, Crest is scared of that game now, so... Probably should take it while we can.
Hickman, you're so ridiculous.
You literally said that yesterday.
I said that that game makes me a little nervous. I'm not sitting over here scared. Like, if we were playing them this week, I wouldn't be scared of them. I just, you know, for some reason, and I don't know where this came from, it just feels like that's the one Beamer has circled on his calendar. I don't know.
All right. We'll come back. Kickoff hour 3 next.